Ivana, thank you for that wonderful prayer. It was awesome, awesome. So do you know that Anna's my daughter? You know, 28 years when we came to this church, we feel we made a pretty good decision. And I want to give you all a challenge. To keep doing what you've done for 28 years. You guys, you are aunts and uncles and cousins to our family. Every one of them. And is one of my four. And I just want to challenge you to continue to give that love to every child, unconditional. You guys represent God. Anna's going to have the chance to represent the United States. But you guys have the chance to represent who God is in the lives of everyone who walks in here. And you do such a good job. I want you guys to give yourselves a hand for being that church. Go ahead. Give yourselves a hand. You guys are a loving church, and you have been since the day we walked in here. It's amazing. Our God is an amazing God, and that is the greatest privilege to represent him. And Anna would say the same thing if she was standing right here in front of you. So we are in Psalm chapter 148 today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens, and he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Mr. Auld. Appreciate you. So I'm reading about this sheep rancher up in the hills, the remote mountains of Colorado. And he has a violin that he plays for his entertainment, but the violin gets out of tune. And he tried to make the violin sound like it's supposed to, but really without any kind of tuning fork or anything, he couldn't get, and he didn't know. But there was this radio station that he always kind of tuned into and listened to. And so he wrote to that radio station and he asked them if at a certain, you know, day and a certain hour, at a certain minute even, if they would hit a tuning fork and play the note, you know, C, you know, for 15 seconds or whatever, so he could tune his violin. And they did. It's amazing that they did it. They stopped everything else that they were doing, broadcasting for that day, all the advertisements, all the music, whatever they did, they stopped just so they could hear the sounds for the moment for this guy in the remote mountains in Colorado. In that little hut in the distant mountains, he heard the sound, and from that single note, he was able to put his instrument in tune again. And then go about his merry way. Do you recognize that the praise team needs to be in tune? That, you know, Jeff can't be playing a D and I'm playing an E flat or something. You know, we have to be in tune. And many times we have to listen to each other, you know, we have to listen. The piano and the bass and the keyboards and the guitars and the vocalists and everything has to be kind of in tune together. Let's test our musical knowledge. I'm going to pick on Jeff just because he might know. He might actually know the answer. So let's test your musical knowledge. A chord is made up of three different notes, not a single note. But a chord is made up of three different notes. So the key of G is made up of what notes?
G, B, and D.
How good is that? You're right. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, who would know that, right? I picked on the right guy, right? G, B, and D. Each note, different, but together, right? Each note different, but together they make harmony. They make a beautiful chord. Do you realize it took me years to figure that out? It took me years to figure that out. And I was a guitar player, playing G and D and E and B minor and B flats and A minor and playing the guitar. I would sing. I mean, I would play da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and I would try to sing along. And then Melinda would sing with me, and we'd be playing along, and then she would start singing something different. And I was thinking, I'm singing it wrong. So I would start singing what she's singing, and she'd, what, stop, what are you doing? Well, I'm trying to sing what you're singing. I'm trying, no. You sing what you're singing, just keep singing what you're singing, and I'll try to harmonize and sing something else. Oh, it's kind of like a chord. I'm going to stay in G, la, 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 and you're going to sing in D. Da, 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 da. And together, we're going to sound awesome, right? Oh, I get it. We've been making beautiful music together ever since, right? It's the truth. It really is. But that's kind of awesome how, I mean, it just took me a while to kind of figure that out. We would make a vocal chord, right? And some people, you know, have a gift. I think Barbara has a gift. You could just listen to something and go, oh, I'm just going to start singing this, right? And be in harmony. We love to hear it in our church. Love to hear Danny and Norvi sing and Barbara and Jeff and Melinda and Brandon. We love to hear all that. We come to church to get in tune with God. Amen? We come to church again in harmony with God and watch with each other. With each other. Church is a very special time to get in tune with God. We try to do that, right, on a fairly regular basis. I need to keep in tune with God. And it's a particularly special time of year because it's Christmas season, the year's end, and right, all the spiritual notes are playing, and you're starting to, I need to get in tune with God. And we need to listen for those notes. We need to listen for His notes. Because God is in tune with what's going on, isn't He? God is in tune. He's not out of tune. He's in tune. And I want to make some beautiful music with and for God. How about you? Unless, of course, you think your life is a solo act. And you're going to just do everything, you know, a cappella by yourself. Which, that's not life. You will not and cannot. Because we're all interdependent upon each other in harmony. And so, here's your next slide. See, there is no harmony without other notes. Is that a fairly true musical statement? I don't know why the Lord gave me that, but there is no harmony without other notes. To be in tune with God, to be in tune with others. Because God is in tune with all things and with others. We need to keep our hearts in tune with God, in harmony with the tune that God is playing. But from time to time, I recognize, like that old mountaineer up in the mountains of Colorado, you get out of tune every once in a while. Don't we? We kind of get out of tune every once in a while. They're not quite in sync and not quite harmonizing. And sometimes we're on the wrong note for the proper chord. And oftentimes we don't not recognize that on ourselves. We think God's singing off key. And we expect that he will harmonize with us, but we're flat. God is playing a beautiful symphony. He's sounding the notes. And good friends, they kind of help you stay in tune. A good church will kind of help you stay in tune and harmonize. It'll guide you into this perfect harmony with each other and with God. And if you listen closely enough and adjust your notes to his song, your life comes in tune with God. This particular psalm echoes with the sounds of the universe. So there's your first one, just the universe. The universe. The universe is in tune with God. Bold statement. The universe is in tune with God. From the great nebulas and the star explosions to distant galaxies that may contain other life forms. Do you believe that there are other life forms? Well, this particular passage of scripture mentions angels. Is that a different life form? The depths of the ocean have squid and octopus and sea snakes and viper fish and angler fish. Different life forms? See, it's relatively easy to kind of believe in other life forms because we have many right on this planet. We may have some alternate forms in this sanctuary. Are there aliens among us? And the universe praises the Lord, all the heavens. Its very existence is praise to God. And so there's your Big Bang theory, right? God said, bang, and there it was. So even creating something out of nothing is pretty awesome and deserving of praise. We can't even wrap our minds around something out of nothing, a creation from nothing. We can't even begin to grab hold of that in our understanding. The supreme creator of the universe is absolutely amazing. When, as far as we can tell, in our limited human minds in the universe, that it's massive with stars and other galaxies, the universe, as far as we can tell, from what they want to be able to tell us, is that we're growing and shrinking, depending upon who you're listening to. And then there's the other theory, we're growing and shrinking, which is an ebb and flow. It's an ebb and flow. It's an ebb and flow. And this is your universe, not your galaxy of planets and stars. Your universe that contains hundreds of other galaxies. We can't. And science is amazing and awesome. And it's a mystery. And there is so much unknown. And the universe is like an active cell expanding its reach and its domains and shrinking, expanding and shrinking. Whichever one you want to say, depending upon which scientist you want to listen to. But listen to this definition. Listen to this. A very long time ago, okay, we're already talking about time. God is outside of time, so we're already limited. We're already stuck. A very long time ago, the universe was expanding more slowly than it is now. It was expanding more slowly. So now it's, what does that mean? That means it's accelerating in its expansion faster, right? So the ebb and flow was like, now the ebb and flow was like, oh, okay. This is what they're at. This puzzling discovery suggested that this inexplicable force, we'll call it dark energy, is driving and accelerating the expansion of the universe. We can see there's something. Well, we can't see it, but we know it's there. And it's expanding and contracting in the universe. And while this dark energy is thought to be this strange force that is pulling the cosmos apart at an ever-increasing speed, it remains one of the greatest mysteries in science because the force remains elusive to scientists. There are forces at work in and around your life more than you realize. Science proves it. God said it thousands of years ago. Forces that are elusive, indefinable, indescribable, mysterious. Absolutely. I would suggest that maybe even some are good and some are bad, that some are ripping you apart and some are holding you together. And through it all, it's an ebb and a flow. I'm going to quote from space.com. A quote from space.com. The universe is filled with invisible stuff. Look it up. Space.com. And watch. We can only detect and measure, are you ready for this? Around 4% of the universe contents. Around 4% of the universe contents. Do we even begin to understand? And yet, we make deductions and draw conclusions based on 4% of the data that we've been able to collect. Miss Jody Bradley, back in our sound booth, she works at the elections office. 2024 is going to be an election year. Oh, aren't you excited about all of that? Oh, yeah, I can't wait to hear all the commercials and advertisements. I will be frustrated with my TV throughout the year, I can promise you. Right? And listen, if all the votes are cast and we count 4%, Jody, should we declare who the winner is? She's shaking her head no. And yet, we draw conclusions. We declare who the winner is based on 4% of our understanding of the universe. Isn't that, I think it's amazing. You know what? There's a 4% chance Colin's the murderer. Do we sentence him?
Yeah.
Ah, see? All of a sudden things change, don't they? Yeah, we want to convict, we want to judge, we want to put it down, we want to solve the problem, we want to draw conclusions. Because we don't want mystery. We want to say we know. You don't convict on 4%. You don't. Yet, somehow, we draw conclusions based on all of that. Listen, folks, we are small. Small. Small in our knowledge, small in our comparisons, small in the universe. And get ready. More space stuff. Are you ready? There may be other universes. What? Yeah, no, because the universe is the universe. As we understand it, the universe could be one of many universes. This is getting like we cannot grab hold. We cannot even begin to understand what infinite looks like. Blows your mind. And it's interesting about these bubble universes that they would function very differently in their laws of physics, right? Meaning that as we understand our universe It would not be applicable to another universe. It pretty much is the same in our galaxy, of the Milky Way galaxy, that how we understand things does not apply to another galaxy. It doesn't fit the same in the universe, doesn't fit in another universe. Like how we understand gravity, it's not applicable in another galaxy. How we understand time, Happy New Year, by the way, which is a passage of time. And how we understand time here isn't the same as how it is somewhere else, and how the definition is applicable. In fact, it's inapplicable. In fact, are you ready? Time may not exist in the way in which you define time. Science proves that. Crazy. Welcome to the end of a new year and the beginning of a new one, which really just means that you've managed to stay on the planet and circle around the sun one time. Right? That's a year. Get ready. You're starting a new rotation around the sun. And this is how we define it. Heaven may have very different laws of physics than we even begin to currently understand. Heaven. See, now we're just looking at things that we can see in some of the life forms of existence of light and space and matter and ebbs and flows. And then there's this thing called an angel. What dimension is that from? Well, now you're starting to talk about not multi-universes. You're talking about multi-dimensional phases of existence, not just matter, but energy. And you think you know it all. Gosh. We don't even begin to understand. Probably less than 4%. I think it's wonderful that all these ideas are just, they're wonderful moves of the idea about different dimensions and different galaxies. And it all holds together. It's all sustained together, continues to move together. I know that it looks like you're just sitting still, but you're moving at 66,000 miles an hour. Where's the perception in that? How do you grab hold of a reality that's different than I'm just being still, and you're soaring through the universe? All this is just a beautiful picture of praise and worship and all the super spectacular, majestic, regal, and grand things that are of God and supernatural and invisible. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all angels. Praise him, all heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, you shining stars. Praise him in the highest heavens. Praise him in the water of the skies. Praise him, the name of the Lord. For at his command, they were all created. And he established them forever and forever. And he has issued a decree that they will never pass away. Celestial things, praise God. And those simple three words, David sums up the whole of the message of Psalm 148. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. All you celestial icons, praise the Lord. Anybody else know how to say praise the Lord in a different way? How about in Hebrew? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! See, you didn't know you knew Hebrew. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Hallelujah! 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 That's praise the Lord. All the heavens, praise the Lord. Everything above the earth, hallelujah! The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display their knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. There is no speech, nor there is any language where their voices are not heard. Their voice goes into all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. Just glance up. See the sky and the glorious beauty of God's creation. All in harmony, all in tune. And yet, people will still reject, won't they? They'll still reject. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godliness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godliness and wickedness of people. For they suppress the truth by their wickedness. What's their wickedness? Suppressing the truth of God. Watch. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God made it perfectly plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, the eternal power and divine nature, his power, his divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Do you get that? That's the word of God to you concerning evidences and existence of God. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. And that's just the universe. That's just looking at scientific discovery does not disprove the existence of God. If anything, it proves the existence of God. Cosmology, geology, biology, meteorology, zoology, anthropology, geography, all in harmony, all in tune. And for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, amazing, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. So here's your next slide. Invisible qualities have been seen. Isn't that like a paradox or something? It's invisible, but I see it. It's invisible, but I see it. It's kind of like gravity. I don't see gravity. I see the effects of it when I drop a pen. Yeah. The invisible qualities have been seen. We're in a wonderful, we're just in this wonderful place of understanding and beginning to understand the great cosmos of the universe. And we really stand in awe of this amazing God. And listen, you don't even have to look to the universe or to the outermost reaches. Praise the Lord from the earth. You great sea creatures and ocean depths, lightning and hail and snow and clouds and stormy winds that do his bidding. You mountains and hills, fruit trees and cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds. Not only the things in the heavens, but the things that are on earth. So there's your next one, the earth. David turns his attention from the celestial, right, to the terrestrial, to the earth. From the heavens to the earth. Things on earth are to scream, hallelujah! Praise God! Praise the Lord! Now, I thought I had presented some pretty cool facts about the universe. Some of that, maybe we know. Maybe some of them we don't. And some of what we know, maybe 4% of the vastness of space, many would say we even know less about our own planet. The reality is that about 5% of the depths of the seas have been explored. So 95% of what's under the oceans, we do not know. Scientific fact, folks. If you want to follow the science. Great sea creatures that never surface. Too far down for us to see. And get ready. Get ready. Just as our universe, there may be other universes. Watch. There may be another ocean under our ocean. We haven't even begun to think or imagine what God has done. Maybe we get 4 to 5%. Maybe. I probably shared this before. I love sharing the story about Robert Ballard. Robert Ballard discovered the Titanic. Remember seeing all those wonderful pictures of the Titanic, and it was a great, right? And they made a great big movie about it and everything. And Robert Ballard was the guy who discovered the Titanic. We've seen all those pictures. He also discovered the battleship Bismarck, the Yorktown, and he found JFK's PT boat when JFK was injured and lost his boat. When asked, Robert Ballard, hey, which discovery is the most important? Surely it had to be the Titanic. Surely that had to be the most important discovery that you've ever made. No, no, no. Certainly the most famous, but certainly not the most important. Well, what was the most important? Hypothermal vents and the organic tube worms that were living next to them. What? Yeah, I discovered life where there should be no life. I'm sorry, what? Yeah, yeah. Everything we understood about organic life, everything that we understood about oxygen and sun and photosynthesis and sustaining life as we understood life has been proven inaccurate and incomplete. I made a very significant discovery about life, and how we define it, it doesn't fit. But there it is. Like the bumblebee flies, it shouldn't. But there it is. The platypus exists, but it doesn't fit. Inaccurate and incomplete. And he would go on to say, if I wanted to pass my college exams today, I would have to give all the wrong answers. The discovery is the most significant and most impactful, and we need to rewrite our textbooks. Things from the depths of the sea cry out to the Lord. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. So expansive and so amazing, so mysterious and so undiscovered, so invisible. The 40-ton humpback whale speaks in a language that we cannot even begin to comprehend. His voice, praising God, singing hallelujah. I don't think he's questioning his role in the universe. Do you? The dolphin. Go Dolphins this afternoon, by the way, right? We got some Dolphin fans. There you go. Go Dolphins. The Dolphins, highly intelligent. Yet, right, oftentimes equated with our own kind of intellectual abilities and how, right, how smart they're supposed to be. I don't see them looking for a job. I don't see them trying to build a house, driving a car. Life on this earth screams of God, his greatness, and his creativity. Can a humpback whale be disobedient to God? Can a wolf be anything other than a wolf? A raccoon, anything other than a raccoon? A tree, anything other than a tree? There's a unique distinction about the human being, isn't there? Lightning, snow, wind, rain, clouds, all the atmosphere is placed perfectly to sustain all life forms, and they praise God. And they're all in harmony. Mountains and trees all in tune with God. Large and small land creatures all in tune with God. We are dependent upon one another for our own survival to be in harmony. We coexist in harmony, all in tune with God. Each giving praise, adoration, the power of God, the rule of God, the command of God, the supremacy of God, the decrees of God. It's just the earth. But what do we know? Less than 5%? What do you think you really know? What do you think you can really prove? I never have to worry about the existence of God or proving the existence of God. I never worry about it. People can't prove that he doesn't exist. The more they try to prove he doesn't, the more they confirm he does. They just show they don't know. And now there's actually scientific findings that just say, you know what? We realize there's something that's elusive and invisible and working, and we don't know how to define it. That's science for you. God's been saying it since there were, are you ready? People. Since there were people. People's very different. Kings of the earth and all the nations, you princes and all rulers of earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is to be exalted. His splendor above the earth and the heavens. It's not just the things of the earth, it's the people. There's your next one, the people. It's all about the people. David instructing all the people, great and small, young and old, powerful and influential. And so I'm doing some more research and I'm reading about what David might be writing and when he's writing this about this time. And as I'm reading it, I'm discovering that he's pointing out, maybe, just possibly, he's pointing out all the things that people worship. Do people worship the sun and moon? Do people worship angels? They worship mountain streams and trees and rocks. Perhaps David's just kind of hinting at all these things and stuff that people worship as opposed to the one true God. And people are trying to get in tune with a tree instead of God. They're trying to get in tune with a rock instead of God. They're trying to get in tune with the ripples of a mountain stream instead of God. They're worshiping the creation and not the creator. And why do all these things exist anyway? I know we ask the question, why do I exist? Why do I exist? What's my purpose? Well, why does a tree exist? What does a 40-ton humpback whale in the depths of the ocean that we can't even begin to see and look at and study and understand? What is that for? God would say clearly, to show proof of my existence and to bring me glory. If those things exist, the faraway galaxies, to bring God glory, if the 40-ton humpback whale and the wolf and the raccoon and the tree and the rustling mountain stream all exist to bring God glory, here's your next slide. Maybe just to bring God glory. Just to bring God glory. Your existence brings glory to God. And you thought it was about stuff you do. Your very existence brings glory to God. then the Lord would say this about you. Not the humpback whale, not the wolf, not the galaxies and other universes. He would say this about you. You have dominion over all this creation. He's given you dominion over this creation. He has created you in a most valuable and unique fashion. Very different than the 40-ton humpback whale. Very different than a tree. Very different than the sun, shining brightly. He created you very differently. Are you more valuable to God than a sparrow? The scriptures would say, God knows when a sparrow falls. Are you not more valuable? People are a majestic creation of the Lord with full potential. Are you ready? With full potential to disobey, to turn away from their creator. I don't think a tree can turn away from its creator. I don't think a humpback whale can turn away from its creator. I don't think a whale can turn away from a wolf or a raccoon. I don't think any of that. I think they're all created to give glory to God, and that's exactly what they do. What do you do? He's created you in such a way. You're a very unique creation amongst all creations. And if you really get into the scriptures, then you begin to understand why there's an evil presence that doesn't want you to understand who you are and the love that God has for you. It's nothing to do with what you do. It has everything to do with who you are in creation. That's God speaking to you very profoundly, very spiritually, in the way in which you are created, in the way in which you are different, in the way in which you have dominion. Are you wise or are you unwise? Do you follow the ways of God and the understanding of the Creator, or are you still looking at the creation? Maybe we should begin just praising God because of free will. He's given us free will, objectivity. He's given us creativity. He is to be praised. He is to be acknowledged. He is to be honored. He is to be lifted up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Say it over and over again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How about in Hebrew? All right, ready? Give me that next slide. Who gives a hallelujah? And so now I'm going to scare you. Who gives a hallelujah? Who gives a hallelujah? You want to give a hallelujah? Give a hallelujah. Why do you praise God?
Why do I praise
God? Sure, why not? Come on, give me a hallelujah.
I just want to say hallelujah.
All right, why do you want to praise God?
Hallelujah.
He just wants to praise God too. That's, I don't got no words. I can't think that deep. I just want to say hallelujah. Maybe the praise team can sing us a song. You know a song? You know a song? That's just, maybe hallelujah? What do you got? You got any hallelujah? It's the end of the year. There's a new year starting. You just finished a whole rotation around the sun. Do you got any hallelujah? Do you got any praise? Do you got anything that you might want to say to God to be in harmony with Him?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come on. In Hebrew, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. All right, everybody's just like a praise the Lord. What do you got?
Hallelujah.
Oh, there's
hallelujah.
One.
Hope for the future.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. How about you, Kelly? You got something?
Hallelujah.
Where do you want to praise God for anything this year?
Praise the Lord and.
Praise the Lord and hallelujah. He speaks two languages, this guy over here. All right. Praise be to God. Who gives a hallelujah? I give a hallelujah. Let's sing some song.
Hope for the future.
Let's stand and give a hallelujah today. Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Your love is surprising. I can feel it rising. All the joy that's growing deep inside of me. Every time I see you, all your goodness shines through. I can feel this God song rising up in me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah. Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, 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 your love makes me sing. Your love is surprising, I can feel it rising. All the joy that's growing deep inside of me. Every time I see you, all your goodness shines through. I can feel this God song rising up in me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Makes me sing.
Mr. Elder in charge, come and pray for us. Pray for the offering too, but pray for us in this moment right here, right now.
Our God and Father, hallelujah. Lord, we come to you this first and last day of the year, and we do pray that you surround this church with a hedge, Lord. Continue to use it in the way that you have over so many years. I pray for each person here. I pray for this pastor. I pray for this praise band and these young people and these older folks, Lord, and just pray for each one. I know and we know that you are with each of us, and we sing hallelujah. We also now, Lord, we come before you and we ask that you take our offering. We ask that you take it, multiply it many times over. We ask that you would use it for your will. We ask that you would use it to bring the gospel to many people and use this place. Lord, use this place in your service. We ask these things, we praise your name, and we say hallelujah. In Jesus' name.